Thank you, Your Honor. Vanessa Power on behalf of the appellant, Michelle Kanukin. If I could reserve 3 minutes, please.
Very well.
Thank you. The issue that is before the court today is whether the city's ordinance related to tenant relocation assistance fails to comply with specific requirements under state law. And here, Ms. Kanukin asked this court to reverse the trial court's ruling, which was on a motion to dismiss under 12b-6, and to direct entry of a writ that will require the city to provide specific administrative hearings in compliance with state law. This is under a de novo standard, given that we are here on a Rule 12b-6 motion. So this case arises in the context of Washington's Residential Landlord-Tenant Relocation Act. And under that act, it provides that if a city opts to enact an ordinance that allows for tenant relocation assistance, then it must provide for certain things. And one of those things is to provide for administrative hearings. The reason that we're here today is that there is a dispute as to the parameters that are required here. The law itself, this is RCW 59.18.440, subsection 5, requires a city to provide administrative hearings to resolve disputes between tenants and property owners, and I will quote, relating to relocation assistance or unlawful detainer actions during relocation. And we're here because there is a dispute as to what does it mean to define during relocation. There's no dispute that the City of Seattle did enact an ordinance. They do provide for administrative hearings. They concede that they do provide for those hearings only during what they call the first portion of the relocation process. And what this comes down to is the portion before a property owner is issued a tenant relocation license. So what that means is that if a property owner is deciding to redevelop their property, for example, before they can do so under the city's ordinance, they need to meet several specific requirements. And once they meet those requirements, and those include a certain notice period and determination of the amount of relocation assistance and payment to the city, once that is all handled, the city will issue a tenant relocation license. Through that period, the city provides for administrative hearings. At that point, they are cut off. And the concern here is that that cutoff point is just the point at which a number of tenants are in actual need of administrative hearings. It begs this question of what it means with respect to, one, administrative hearings related to relocation assistance, and two, relating to unlawful detainer actions during relocation. The city has suggested that we are trying to change the period or the time limitation. That's not the case. This is a mandatory requirement under state law. And so we would point the court to the statute itself. The statute does not limit or give discretion to a city as to the time period or to only provide it during the first period or the first portion of a tenant's relocation. It says during relocation.
Nor does it say at all times.
It does not say at all times. That's correct, Your Honor. But we would suggest then that the court engage in standard statutory interpretation, which calls for the court to first look at the plain meaning of the statute. And the plain meaning uses this term during relocation, and it doesn't limit it in any way. The second piece of that is that if you look at the statute broadly and how that statute uses similar terms across the board, it all relates to the context of a tenant who is moving. So necessarily, just as a matter of law, a tenant is not required to move unless and until and after a tenant relocation license is issued, because it is not until that point that a property owner is permitted to give termination of tenancy notice. And so that's where there's this disconnect in the time period that the city has somewhat arbitrarily set in limiting the scope of those administrative hearings. If you look at the statute, it is mandatory in that it says that the city shall adopt policies, procedures, and regulations to implement this requirement. And those parameters that are mandated, again, are clear. The first is that there are procedural requirements. One is that it calls for example, hearings to take place within 30 days. And the second is that it is substantive, so not to recite again the language, but it calls for.
Does it require cities to have good cause ordinances or just cause ordinances?
It does not require that, but there is a separate.
Is there a reason to believe that the requirement to have hearings exists to provide hearings for any reason other than those that would apply in all cities that opted in?
I'm sorry, can you ask me that again?
Sure. Say Edmonds opts in, Chehalis opts in, Seattle opts in. State law, can we envision the legislature deciding that we want to have a requirement of hearings and we want the hearings to be for the same purpose in every city that opts in?
I do believe that's the case.
Okay. So that it would not be the subject, a proper subject of a hearing under this ordinance to assert that there is an absence of just cause under the Seattle ordinance, because Edmonds has no such ordinance and neither does Chehalis, I hypothesize.
Certainly, Your Honor, and that's understood. And I think you hit on a key point here, which is what takes place and what is the substance of these hearings. Seattle does have its own just cause ordinance, does have its own unlawful detainer proceedings. We don't argue that this should replace them, conflict with them in any way. In fact, we
nor require them.
No. This is a separate statute that authorizes this, and under that authorization, it requires these specific hearings. I'll reserve my remaining time. Thank
Very
you.
Well. That's fine.
Okay.
There won't cut into your time.
Great. I'll do it.
We're looking for you to do that easily.
Yeah.
There you go. This happens when I have to pay attention for too long. It's difficult for me.
You might want to put it so council can see that and we'll be able to.
She has been quoting this language. I'm confident knows it by heart.
All right, thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, I'm Elizabeth Anderson representing the City of Seattle in this matter. The key issue in this case is what the legislature meant when it required municipalities to have administrative hearings to resolve disputes between tenants and property owners relating to relocation assistance or unlawful detainer actions during relocation. What did the legislature mean when it included that language, during relocation? The legislature did not define that phrase. The legislature did not dictate the exact timing contemplated by that phrase, during relocation. Nor did the legislature amend the Superior Court's jurisdiction related to unlawful detainer actions.
Well, that's constitutional, so they couldn't do that anyway.
Yes, sir.
So we're talking about what during relocation means. Is it ambiguous?
No, I don't believe it's ambiguous, Your Honor. I believe that it is clear on its face. I guess we know that the legislature could not have meant that an administrative hearing would usurp the Superior Court's jurisdiction related to unlawful detainer action. So we know it couldn't be that. So what does it mean? Ms. Kanukin's counsel argues that during relocation means throughout relocation, which means throughout the entirety of relocation. They state in their brief, during the act of moving. What exactly would that mean? Would that include an appeal at any point? So from the time that a landlord decides we're going to conduct substantial rehabilitation on a unit that may displace a tenant, from that moment until the time that the moving van drops off the very last box of tenant's possession into their new unit and drives away. Is that what that means? That the city would have to provide administrative hearings during the entirety of that?
Until the post office stops forwarding the mail.
When would that be? So that's Ms. Kanukin's argument. Or the phrase during relocation could mean at some point during relocation. That's the city's position.
Do you agree that the legislature must have had in mind a similar process being created in any city that opts in, dealing with the same issues? The process might vary somewhat depending on the size of the city and whether they have full-time employees to do all of this stuff or not. But the questions to be decided would be of the same type, whether it was Chehalis or a bigger city, Edmonds, or a much bigger city, Seattle.
Your Honor. Okay. I do agree with you.
And so what of those questions, what questions would be universal to all opting in cities that would arise after the issuance of the relocation license?
That's a good question, Your Honor. And Ms. Kanukin in the briefing indicated that unlawful detainer during relocation, for example, that would deal with whether a property owner may withhold relocation assistance to a tenant wrongfully holding over. So that was Ms. Kanukin's suggestion.
So what either doesn't fit with the timing or is otherwise wrong with that suggestion?
That relates to relocation assistance, Your Honor. So I believe that that's an issue that relates to relocation assistance monies. So under the city's process, we already make a determination about
relocation. So it would be after
monies.
The issuance, it would be prior to the issuance of the license.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. So under the city's process, and it's laid out in CP 45 generically in a tip that we have.
There were a variety of other suggestions in both amicus briefing and in briefing of the party.
Yes.
In terms of what might be the subject of post-licensing hearings.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall those, could you tell us what's either wrong with the timing? In other words, that would have had to arise prior to the issuance of the license, or wrong with the concept. That's not the type of hearing that could be had at the city. The Superior Court has jurisdiction or whatever the case may be.
Yes. So with respect to, I believe that they raised several claims, one of which was related to retaliation under the unlawful detainer action. So that's something that falls within the Superior Court's jurisdiction. So that's not something that an administrative hearing officer should be weighing in on. They also suggested monies, which we've addressed in the city's process. That would be something that could be appealed to the hearing examiner before the license was issued. I'm drawing a blank. Let's see. Reliance. I believe that there was a claim.
There's a suggestion that the license itself could be revoked through this process.
Yes, I do recall that, Your Honor. And from the city's perspective, there wouldn't really be jurisdiction to revoke that license because the landlord has complied with tenant relocation. They have paid their monies. They have issued the tenant packet that's
required.
The
relocation license triggers the development permit?
Relocation, yes. So the process is, if a landlord wants to substantially rehabilitate, they must submit an application, remove a tenant. So that triggers the city's TREO. Then they must the landlord must provide to all the tenants a packet about the TREO process. They must make a determination about whether tenants are eligible for relocation monies. And lastly, they must give a 90-day advance notice to all tenants. So that's advance notice of development activity. This is in advance of a 20-day notice that is issued under unlawful detainer action.
So then they get their relocation license.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And then if they've completed all other steps in the development process, do they get their development permit? What do they?
They have to have one more permit, another development permit, not a MUP, but an electrical permit or some other type of a permit. That's under our just cause eviction ordinance. That's required. And then they can go ahead and issue a 20-day notice to terminate.
Okay. I'm not concerned about the notice to terminate right now. I'm just trying to find it from the developer's standpoint. I get my relocation license. Is that a final land use decision, or does it later inhere in a different final land use decision?
I don't believe it is a final land use decision because it relates to tenant relocation monies and whether or not they issued a proper notice. So it's not affecting land use like a building permit would affect. So it's possible that they could have obtained their one building permit in advance of receiving their tenant relocation license. But in order to, actually, I think that's incorrect. I think that
are they seeking a redevelopment permit? Is that what Seattle calls it? What does Seattle call
it? It would be. It depends on the scope of the proposal. In this particular case, I believe there were multiple building permits for different stacks of units.
Which of those permits are the issuance of which of those permits is dependent upon the issuance of the relocation license?
Let me grab the language. So under our just cause eviction ordinance is located at 22206-160C. And it states the owner seeks to do substantial rehabilitation in a building, provided that the owner must obtain a tenant relocation license if required by 22210 and at least one permit necessary for the rehabilitation before terminating tenancy. So that's our just cause requirement. So just cause requires that an owner has to have a tenant relocation license.
I'm trying to figure out when does this become a LUPA matter? When is there a final land use decision such that the Superior Court has jurisdiction under LUPA over what's taking place?
That would be with the issuance of the development permit, so the building permit or a master use permit, I guess at least one other permit necessary. So presuming...
So you need a relocation license to get a development permit. The development permit is the final land use decision?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So one thing that the city discussed was the fact that, and again, there's no dispute here, that they cut off these administrative hearings at the time that this tenant relocation license issues. The disconnect here is, if you look at this language, it specifically allows for administrative hearings relating to unlawful detainer actions during relocation. An unlawful detainer action cannot occur until after a tenant relocation license has been issued.
Can't lawfully occur.
Correct. Yes, that is correct, Your Honor. Cannot lawfully occur until after this license is issued. And so assuming that this license has been issued, at that point, the notice to terminate tenancy could occur if the tenant doesn't comply, an unlawful detainer action occur.
What hearing would be held after the issuance of a relocation license and the issuance of the development permit? Mm-hmm. What hearing could occur that would not be subject to LUPA? If the development permit is a final land use decision?
Potentially, Your Honor, an issue with respect to the timing of relocation. So for example, in this case, there was a dispute that was raised by Ms. Kanukin There's no dispute that relocation monies
was that,
were at
was
issue.
That, but I thought that defense was a just cause defense. And we established about 14 minutes ago that Edmonds and Chehalis, under my hypothetical, don't have that statute, so that wouldn't be what the legislature was talking about.
Correct, but she questioned whether the property owner's notice to her previously that she had relied on in terms of timing was proper to support their tenant relocation license when the notice that she then received once that license was issued was, in her view, inconsistent
with
that.
If the relocation license adheres in the development permit is a final land use decision, doesn't she have to, if she has that claim, doesn't she have to make it under LUPA? If she's seeking to have the license taken away, that's altering the final land use decision.
Right. I think that would be a separate action. We're not suggesting here that this administrative hearing process is the
process.
It would
seem an odd thing for an executive branch official to do.
Right. And so it's not our suggestion that this is the forum for revocation of a tenant relocation license. It is, however, we believe, the forum for
Amicus, I think, suggested it on your behalf.
Correct. I think that, and my understanding of that suggestion, if I may just finish, was that that there could be instances in which something was not lawful, which comes out of this hearing process, that could result in that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council. We are in recess.
Recess.